Welcome to the Terrorist Therapist Show on Renegade Talk Radio with your host, Dr. Carol. Though you may not realize that the ongoing threat of terrorism is affecting your life and that of your loved ones. Each week, Dr. Carol analyzes the hottest topics in terror and helps you and your family reach your dreams despite living in a time of terror.
Rape gang, jailed while hordes still roam the streets. Now, I bet you said to yourself, roaming the streets in the U.S.? Well, just wait. Welcome to the Terrorist Therapist Show. I'm Dr. Carol, a psychiatrist, and your terrorist therapist. And today I'm going to be talking to you about something that is hard to believe is true. And if you just read the American media, you would not likely come across it. It's so well hidden. But there are gangs raping, Muslim gangs, raping thousands of young girls, some as young as 11, in the UK. Now, you may have heard about the attack in, well, they didn't call it an attack per se, but you may have heard on New Year's Eve a couple of years ago in Germany, the immigrants there were raping women in hordes. And we did hear about that, I think, because it was New Year's Eve and because immigrants in Germany were, you know, flooding into Germany was kind of a topic in the news. But this, what's been going on in the UK has been hidden. That's all I can say. And why the bottom line to this is not only why the UK authorities aren't doing more to fix this problem, but why isn't America stepping in and saying that these are abuses that should not be tolerated? These are civil rights abuses of these little girls, these young girls, as I said, as young as 11, most of them are young teens. Why are we not speaking up about how horrendous that is? Well, now the reason why I'm talking about this today is because there was, in fact, a trial that did put some of these rapists in jail. That just happened. In fact, the title of the article about this was Oxford Rape Gang, which abused young teenage girls in shag wagon, jailed. So this is six men who were just jailed for the grooming and rape of six Oxford teenage girls in crimes against children that the judge called sinister and predatory. That is somewhat of an understatement. Now, when you think, now this is happening in a number of cities in the UK, and I'll talk about other ones too, but Oxford, you know, that's the same city of the world-respected university. In Oxford, this is happening. These particular men were convicted of preying on six vulnerable teens. At the time, the teens were aged 13 to 17. This went on from 1998 to 2005. Now, just think of this. This is 2018, and they are first being convicted and jailed. You will hear why these things are taking so long and actually not happening at all for most of the cases. These six men subjected these teens to hundreds of episodes of sexual abuse. And they brought the victims into the group of this ring of sexual abusers they made them a part of the group through flattery, making them feel a sense of belonging, and giving them alcohol and drugs. Now, I would bet that many of these girls, if not all of these girls, had broken homes without fathers, because that's what happens. That happens all over the world, that when parents get divorced and the father doesn't continue to pay attention or be in the girl's life, they seek out attention from men, and that makes them vulnerable to sexual predators. Who flatter them and know just how to twist them around their finger. And before the girls know what's happening to them, they wind up in this ring of sexual exploiters. Now, the reason why it's called the shag wagon, and you know what, that's a British way of saying sexual intercourse. So most of these hundreds of instances of abuse took place in a black Nissan Serena with a license plate ending in SHG. So they called it the shag wagon. They would pick up the girls, have sex with them, dump them. Most of these things happened in this car. They would bring them to the car. And one of the girls told the court that she was used as a sexual object by Assad Hussein, who was sentenced to life imprisonment. Then there was another man, Moinul Islam, who was jailed for 15 years and 9 months after having one child completely at his mercy. So there are Muslim Pakistani origin rape gangs operating in lots of cities in the UK, Rochdale, Rotherham, Telford, and they target mostly white girls. Sometimes they get some little bit of media attention in the UK, but, and this isn't the first one to have been convicted in Oxford, but the number of the people who get arrested and convicted are so small compared to how many are out there grooming and raping girls. In 2013, there were 7 members of a rape gang who were found guilty of grooming and raping girls, some as young as 11. And this was in Oxford as well. And then there was a 2015 case that found, well, a 2015 case review that found that 370 white British girls may have been exploited, raped, and abused from 1999 to 2014. In Oxfordshire, and that these men were mainly of Pakistan heritage. And then, you know, in all of these cities, although, as I said, although there have been a few that have been arrested and convicted, the vast majority are still out there raping and grooming and raping girls. There, another example, another city that was mentioned is Telford. And what happens is when people report, the whistleblowers who report about these things, they get into trouble. So there was a police chaplain and a charity worker who were forced out of their jobs and silenced after they tried to raise the alarm about what was happening in Telford. There were 1,000 girls who were groomed and raped in this particular city, Telford. And these gangs were operating for 40 years, drugging, beating, trafficking, raping non-Muslim girls. Again, some as young as 11. I mean, look at that, 40 years, over 1,000 victims. I mean, where are the authorities? Where are the police? Then there were also people had been murdered. 3 girls were murdered and 2 others died following incidents linked to their abuse. Others were left addicted to drugs and scarred. What happens is the perpetrators turn this around and can say that the girls are prostitutes. And in other words, instead of claiming, and the police are collude in this, that they agree, they go along with calling the girls prostitutes instead of rape victims. And so there was a woman who was working for this sex abuse charity, this is just an example, called Access Counseling, and she was forced to resign after she spoke out. And the key was the charity was funded by the police, and so they feared that they would lose money from the police if they spoke out about these incidents that are being ignored by the police. And then there's a man, Keith Osmond Smith, who's a police chaplain. He was suspended after he told a newspaper about this report that revealed social workers knew of the sex crimes in 2000 and earlier. So it's all this is about a cover-up. And there was a government report, good, a lot of good this did, but there was a government report that acknowledged that political correctness, a culture of fear and intimidation, and concerns about accusations of racism allowed these mainly Muslim gangs to get away with their crimes. So in other words, because of political correctness, the police are not clamping down on these instances of rape. Now, it's just really hard to believe the numbers and the years that these things have been going on make it really hard to believe. Well, when we come back, we'll talk more about these horrendous examples. And later on, I'm going to be talking about one man who has stuck his neck out and who actually finds himself now in jail after speaking out, and has been put into a Muslim, particularly Muslim populated jail, where he is likely to be killed. Horrendous rapes, thousands of young girls going on for 40 years in some places by gangs of Muslim men, Pakistan, mostly Pakistani, and that have been overlooked for 40 years. And it's, of course, it's getting worse. I mean, you know, back in the day, it was not at the levels as it is now, because of immigration and because we have become, well, the UK has become and the US has become so much more politically correct. Now, you might be wondering why I talk sometimes on these podcasts about things happening in the UK, like the last time I was talking about these girl power in this family of two sisters and a mother who became terrorists, the first all-girl terrorist cell in the UK, at least to be detected and convicted. And why I'm talking about it so much is because these horrendous things that are happening in the UK are only a hair's breadth from happening in the US. You know, do not feel complacent that, oh, that's too bad. That's happening over there. That's happening in the UK and Germany. You know, there are things, France, there are horrible terrorist things happening. We're sorry for those people, but that doesn't affect me. Well, think again. The terrorists do not only want to do these kinds of things in Europe. They are just making their way through Europe in hordes. And believe me, they are already, many of them are already in the US, and many others are trying to come in here. So even if no other people with these same ideas, and I'm certainly not saying in the US that all, or even in the UK, that all Muslims are terrorists or all Muslims are rapists. I guess I should make that clear. I am not saying that. But what I am saying is that of these gangs, these rape gangs, they are Muslims, mostly from Pakistan, and they are being overlooked. They are being allowed to continue doing what they're doing, except for a few picked up here and there, because of political correctness. And so, they are not the only rapists in the world, but because of political correctness, they are getting a free pass. So let me go on and tell you some examples of what some of these victims have said. There were victims in Telford. Again, Telford is a big spot for this kind of activity. And they, these 12 victims that the newspaper, The Mirror, spoke to, accused more than 70 men of grooming in Telford. And there was a 14-year-old, listen to this, who said that she had become pregnant twice and had two abortions during the time that she was being groomed and abused. And she says, quote, "Hours after my second termination," in other words, second abortion, "I was taken by one of my abusers to be raped by more men. Night after night, I was forced to have sex with multiple men in disgusting takeaways and filthy houses. I must have been getting the morning pill, the morning after pill from a local clinic at least twice a week but no one asked any questions. I was told that if I said a word to anyone, they'd come for my little sisters and tell my mom I was a prostitute. Then they talked to another victim, Lucy Lowe, who was 16, and she was, well, no, they didn't talk, well, let's see. Well, I don't think they talked to her because she unfortunately was killed alongside her mother and sister after her abuser, who it was named Azar Ali Mehmood. He's 26 years old, and he set fire to their house. He was a taxi driver, and he began targeting Lucy and her sister. In 1997, she gave birth to his child when she was just 14. Then he was jailed for murder, but he was never arrested or charged with any child sex abuse crimes. So in other words, if he hadn't set fire to their home and killed them, he would have gotten away with all of the rape. So the killings, these kinds of acts, are used by the rapists, the gangs, to intimidate other girls, you know, telling them that if you don't go along with us and if you tell on us, this could happen to you. It's, you know, it's a combination of finding girls who are vulnerable because they are not, apparently, you know, obviously if these girls were being paid attention to enough at home, both by their fathers and their mothers, their parents would notice that something was amiss. I mean, this doesn't, and certainly the rapists know how to target girls, as I was saying before, particularly girls who have been abandoned by their fathers. And so many homes these days all over the world are fatherless. So there are easier pickings these days. And it's a combination of using intimidation and using flattery and using, you know, making them feel like they belong to something, making them feel loved, even though, of course, rape is not love. But to a girl who is lonely, and I mean, obviously they did not like it. I certainly am not saying that. They describe these things in horrendous terms, but they kind of get in over their heads before they realize what's going on. And then they get all these threats and they know that people have been killed by these rape gangs. So it's not just an idle threat. Well, thank goodness there is one person who we certainly need a lot more than one, but there is one person in the UK who has been getting a lot of attention for his trying to bring attention to these rape gangs. The only problem is that he now sits in jail. His name is Tommy Robinson, and he was just moved to a heavily Muslim populated prison. Now, let me tell you who Tony Robinson is. Some people think that he is just a headstrong fool who deserves the 13-month prison sentence that he has gotten, even though it was handed down to him in rather murky circumstances. And other people think that he is the bravest man in Britain, the voice of the people, because he is, his crime, what's being considered a crime, is saying what the establishment is still thinking, some in the establishment, you know, some authorities still consider to be unsayable, but that you're not supposed to talk about the dangers posed by Islam. So depending upon which side you're on, you would see him as one extreme or the other. But he is a very well-informed man. He is not, you know, though some people would say he's racist, people who know him well say that he's not. But that, and he's very well-informed on the Quran and the Hadith. Some say that even more than most than some Muslims better informed. And he's also as informed on Muslim extremism as the police and the intelligence services. This is not me who's saying this, this is by people in the UK who know him and who aren't afraid to say this. He has a family, he's a devoted family man. Although he would love to see his kids grow up, he has long since realized that if he keeps speaking out for what's right, this may not happen. Now, I think he said this before he was put in this jail. This just happened. Before he was put in jail, where there was this mainly Muslim population, which is very dangerous, obviously, to someone who has been speaking out against them, and notably against their gangs of rapists. He admits to having had in his background when he was younger, he had a history of violence, but he says that this is not unusual for a white working class football fan. And he did have a little stint in prison for mortgage fraud, but now this is a much more, he's did some things that really angered people a lot more, stood up for what he believed in more, and gave the justice system the excuse they needed to put him in jail. Now, you may not have heard of Tommy Robinson. I actually never heard of him before I went to London in January. I went there because my book, Lions and Tigers and Terrorists, Oh My, How to Protect Your Child in a Time of Terror, won the London Book Festival Award, and I went there to receive the award and to do book signings and to contribute books to the Manchester Library and so on. And so while I was there, of course, I was reading the newspapers, and that's where I first came across the name Tommy Robinson. Again, he's totally famous or infamous, depending upon how you look at it, in the UK. So the fact that there is so little written about him in America, so buried in the mainstream media, or even, you know, even if it's to the extent that it's even in the mainstream media, it was not on Google News, I can tell you that. And the fact that that Tommy Robinson was moved to this heavily Muslim populated prison, which just happened. So as I will continue to tell you about him, his actual name is Stephen Yaxley Lennon. And it's said that his critics like to call him by his given name because Tommy Robinson sounds too friendly and lovable. Can you believe that? That's that's what the critics are doing, not himself. So anyhow, he first began getting into trouble in regard to this epidemic of rapists last year in May, so a year ago, when he was found guilty of contempt of court because there was a trial of a rape gang in Canterbury in the UK. And he was outside, you know, there was a rule, a law, I guess, that you can't film defendants in these kinds of trials. And Tommy stood outside the courthouse, and he filmed the defendants outside, you know, this Muslim rape gang outside their trial. And the judge threatened him, you know, said, you're not supposed to do that. And he gave him a sentence of 3 months that was put aside. But the judge warned him that if he does it again, he will have to serve the 3 months. So let me see. The judge said, I'm quoting what the judge said. In short, Mr. Yaxley Lennon, turn up at another court, refer to people as Muslim pedophiles, Muslim rapists, and so forth, while trials are ongoing and before there has been a finding by a jury that that is what they are, and you will find yourself inside. Do you understand? Well, I think he understood the words, but he felt strongly enough about this horrendous epidemic that he did it again. And he stood outside another trial and filmed them. So, you know, he finds it that it's just so unbelievable that the authorities are turning their backs on these girls because they were afraid that they would be accused of racism. And, you know, and political correctness and so on. And it's been written that we're talking about the report says we're talking the systematic rape of thousands upon thousands, mostly underage white and Sikh girls in towns and cities across Britain by gangs of mostly Muslim men. Many of the victims were tortured. Some were even killed. All suffered trauma, misery, and scarred life. Now, in this particular report, it's saying that it happened over at least the last 20 years and was perpetrated so flagrantly by so many offenders against so many victims. I mean, so yes, Tommy Robinson found it hard to just let that go. So he, you know, spoke out about it. He was jailed last month for the breach of the peace because he live streamed a trial involving a Muslim rape gang outside Leeds Crown Court. So this was a different court. And originally they put him in a low security prison where there was a low population of Muslims, and then they moved him to another prison just now that has a large Muslim population. And he's already been subjected to Muslim prisoners banging on cell walls and threatening to kill him since he arrived at the jail. I mean, like, obviously he is their number one enemy. He's now held on the main wing of the jail in the general population. Now, if you know anything about jails, prisons, the general population is a very dangerous place to be. There are a lot of people compared to the number of guards. It's a sort of a free-for-all. And in this particular general population that he is in, it's filled with people who don't like him. So it's basically a death sentence. Now, also there's a report that a fatwa was issued against Tommy Robinson by an imam within 24 hours of him being transferred to the new prison. So now not only is it just as you might expect that because he's spoken out about all these Muslim rape gangs, that of course Muslims in jail or prison would not be happy with him and would be, you know, trying to kill him just on their own. But now we have the fatwa. So the person who ends up killing him will be famous. He'll be a martyr. He'll get all kinds of attention because he's the one who fulfilled the fatwa. Now, as an example, in this prison, yes, I think it probably was this prison. It's not really clear. But in 2016, there was a man who was put in jail for leaving bacon outside of a mosque in Bristol. And he was found dead in a jail halfway through his prison sentence. And then when they did an investigation, they claimed that this man died of a drug overdose, when obviously it was that he was killed. So, you know, you never, it's very hard to find out the truth of what happens behind prison walls. And so it's a really dangerous time now for Tommy Robinson. And, you know, there are more people people who talk against Tommy Robinson then who are demanding that the government do something about these years of epidemic of thousands of girls being raped. I mean, that part, you know, everybody's focusing on Tommy Robinson when they should be focusing on this ongoing epidemic of the rape of young girls. Now, you know, I find this really just almost incredible, hard to believe that this could be going on at such, I mean, I do believe it. There's no question that it's true, but it's so sad and it's so scary to think that a government could allow this kind of thing to continue. And as I was saying before, what's really scary is that if you think that we're immune to this, this could never happen here, right? In the United States, well, we would have said that 9/11 could never happen here, and yet it did. Thank you for listening to the Terrorist Therapist Show. I'm Dr. Carol, your terrorist therapist. If you would like to find out more about terrorism from me, your terrorist therapist, visit my website, terroristtherapist.com. And if you're a parent or teacher and want to build stronger nests for your kids to become more resilient, check out my new award-winning book, Lions and Tigers and Terrorists, Oh My, How to Protect Your Child in a Time of Terror. It's the first and only book about terrorism for kids. You can find it wherever books are sold or directly from the publisher at terrorismforkids.com. Terrorism4kids.com. I'm Dr. Carol, your terrorist therapist.
Thank you for listening to the Terrorist Therapist Show on Renegade Talk Radio with your host, Dr. Carol. We hope listening to the show has made you feel calmer, more resilient, and more able to reach your dreams despite living in a time of terror. You can also check out past shows on Renegade Talk Archives for more insights.